Well, good morning once again. I do trust that you're all well. We've done our best to keep everybody safe and secure. From the front, it's not my position to advise what to do in times like a pandemic, but we serve a God who is gracious. He's given us a sound mind, and he's told us not to be fearful, hasn't he? But we're to be faithful. So we're to be cautious, but we are to be those that will trust and believe that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. Now, I do have a message for us today that someone said to me many years ago that if you're a chef and you're in the kitchen, you need to enjoy your own food. If you don't eat your own food, then you shouldn't be cooking for others. That's a way of saying that if you're going to minister to other people, you need to minister to yourself first. So I find whenever I read scripture and whenever I see things and they jump out at me, then I tend to believe then they're for me as well as they are for other people. Now, regardless to where you are at this stage of life, we are thankful and we are grateful, and we know that within this church at least, we preach the full gospel. Yes, we know God blesses us, but we also know we go through trials, don't we? Yes, we do. We have the scars to prove it. If I was going to title this today, and I will do when we put it online, there's three titles, really. There's three things that I want us to take from this. So just bear in mind, because you know when I speak, it seems to just be made up as we go along, although God's in control. One is, don't give up. That's a theme that I want us to grab hold of. Whatever this may mean to you, and maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but it might mean something to someone else, or it might be something that you can lay hold of later. Do not give up. Has God said, and be there for those that are around us. So just bear those things in mind as we go through what God's placed on my heart to share today. As I was praying earlier before you arrived, there was this is the day of the Lord's favour. Really resonated with me. It's the day of the Lord's favour. And God will send others to help us catch fish. So hopefully that will make sense as we go along. So I'm going to share one or two scriptures with us this morning. I trust that you will be blessed. We have ears to hear and eyes to see. It's in Luke 5, starting at verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. I'm going to go up to the beginning of Luke 5 and just read one or two portions, starting at Luke 5 verse 1. One day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats that were left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So just bear in mind that we have a couple of things here that we can think about. One, Jesus is so overwhelmed by the crowds that he gets into a boat and he pushes out from shore a little. Water is a great amplifier. If you've ever been, I'm not a fisherman, apart from fishers of men, I'm not a fisherman, but I have been led to believe that if the water is still and someone's on the other side of the lake, you can hear their conversation because the water tends to amplify things. So I want us to bear this in mind. It doesn't say this in scripture, but I want you to just think about the fishermen for a while. Traditionally, the fishermen would go out at night. You can either drop your nets or cast your nets. If you cast your nets, you throw a net onto the lake and then you pull it in, see if you've caught any fish. If you drop your nets, basically it's a large, heavy woven net with rocks or lead weights all the way around it. So as you throw it out, it sinks to the bottom. You pull the string and it will gather the fish in, and then you pull it back. Just imagine these fishermen had finished their night's work because they were washing their nets. And I want you to bear that in mind, because as I looked at this, I thought about the first thing, don't give up. because there these fishermen were, probably tired, probably hungry, probably irritable. And then this man, Jesus, says, I'm going to take one of your boats and go out onto the shore. And it says this in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. They'd been fishing all night. They were tired, maybe irritable. Just want to go home. Just leave me alone. Let me sleep. That's how I would be if I'd been working all night. I looked in Numbers, and there's a story in Numbers that always fascinates me. And it's the story where Moses is to send out the spies, or the 12 leaders from 12 tribes, to go and explore the land. And if you read this portion of scripture in Numbers 13, starting at 26, it says they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. And they showed them the fruit that they'd brought back. They showed them the fruits of their labor. They showed them the size of the grapes. And they were told this. God said, go into the land in which I'm giving you. And if you remember that story, when the 12 came back, only two had a good report. The other 10 said, they're too big. We're like grasshoppers. They're big to us and we're small to them. Surely we cannot do this. And they started to stir up amongst the community so fear would go everywhere. But one of the things that I see in this portion of scripture is, go into the land flowing with milk and honey that I am giving you. God said, didn't he? That I am giving you. He didn't say, go into the land and see if you think you're strong enough to do it in your strength. He said, go into the land and just see what it is I'm giving you. And it talks about Caleb in scripture. And it says Caleb had a different spirit. Now, what was that spirit? I'm glad you asked. It was that spirit to believe that God, when God says, God does. So I want to go back to Luke. And with that in mind, just remember this. Let me read that Luke 5:4 again. When he had finished speaking, this was Jesus, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We're tired. We want to go. No, don't say that. We're tired. We want to go home. Leave us alone. I've already indulged you enough by sitting in the boat with you while you preach the Torah to the rest of these people. I just need to get some sleep. Doesn't say that. It's poetic license from a preacher. But he says, we've been working hard all night. We've been working hard all night. We're exhausted. We're tired. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. You see, he had a different spirit as well, didn't he? He was tired. I want to say to us that there are times in our lives, regardless to what it is, whether it's family, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever it is, there are times in our life that we are tired. There's a friend of mine, and I'm going to send him this message so he knows who I'm talking about. And he's tired. He's served God for many, many years, and his body is giving up on him. But the body is not going to give up on him. He's exhausted. But God said, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, but because you say so. Then in verse 6 it says this. When they had done so, when they'd been obedient, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats full. So full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." What was it that was different to this miracle than all the other miracles? Because Simon Peter had witnessed Jesus perform miracles. He'd seen Jesus heal the sick, cleanse the leper. He'd seen miracle after miracle. Well, maybe it was because this was personal. This was something that he tried to work in his own strength. Nothing happened. He was obedient to the call of God through Christ Jesus. He caught the fish. Maybe it was because suddenly his eyes were opened. Suddenly he could see that he was important. So I want to say to us at this first juncture, don't give up. It's usually at the time of exhaustion. It's a time when you think, I've got no more to give, God. I've got no more to give. I've prayed this prayer 100 times. I've given to the poor. I've preached your gospel. I've ministered in season and out of season. Lord, my body feels broken. My mind seems overwhelmed. I'm tired and I just want to go home. Well, it's usually at that point where God says, cast out your net for a catch. Lord, because you said so. It's at that point where God says, go into the land flowing with milk and honey that I am giving you. Did God say? So I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself, that look into God's word. What has God said? When I'm not preaching a message on the promises of God. I'm preaching a message on the word of God. When we celebrate this time of year of giving and receiving, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever, and that's you and me, that's a gift that we can grab hold of. But it's a gift that keeps on giving. They say a dog is not just for Christmas, it's for life. Well, God is not just for Christmas. He is life. He is life. Jesus, yes, we celebrate that he came as a babe, but he grew up as a man. He died as a man. He rose as a man. He sits at the right hand of God himself, interceding for me and you. What a gift. If you feel tired like these fishermen did, that's the time I believe that God will enter into your boat and he'll speak to you afresh. I hope this message will make sense as we go through the scriptures together. In Galatians 6 verse 9 it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In other words, those fishermen, if they'd have gave up and gone home, they wouldn't have had the catch, would they? So we could preach this message to Simon Peter. You know, Simon, do not give up. Do not become weary in doing good at the proper time, at the right time, at the righteous time, at the moment where I've designated for you to catch what I've called you to catch, for you to experience what I've called you to experience. You will reap that harvest if you do not give up. See, 10 men went in and gave up. 2 men came out full of faith, not full of fear. Were there giants in the land? Yes, there were. Were they fearful? I'm sure they were. But did they understand what God had said? Yes, I believe they did. So let's not be like the 10, let's be like the 2. Let's be like those that have a different spirit. Let's be those that acknowledge that at times we get tired. At times we get weary. I won't go down that road. But there are times where people can just speak victorious. They can preach God's word in a way, or speak God's word and declare God's word with their mouth, but in their heart they don't believe it. Well, that's dead words, isn't it? It's when it comes out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when God does a work, he does a circumcision in our hearts. When he does a work inside of us, it comes out of us. So it's okay to say, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I've been fishing all night, but because you say so, I will let down my net. And that's a message for us at the end of this year. You know, we may have been tired this year with what the media is saying about woe is the world and double woe. But you know what? This belongs to God, this world of ours. We are in the world, but not of the world. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome, God says. And if he's overcome, what's that make us? Overcomers. Amen to that. So we are overcomers. This is not just a triumphal message. This is a message of reality. Yes, God's people get tired, but God's miracles still keep going. God's word is still true. At the proper time, don't give up. That's the first point. Don't give up. God will do what he said he will do. Back to Luke and starting at verse 12. Luke 5:12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Just picture it. Leprosy, there was different types of leprosy, but for those in the day, it was the same. It was contagious, and some people had a mild form, some people had a major form, where they'd lose their nerve endings on their tips of their fingers and their toes and their nose, and they'd just damage their face and the skin would fall off and they would look a mess. Others, they had milder symptoms, but this man was covered in leprosy, and it was a disease that nobody would touch the leper because they believed that they would catch what the leper had. Those lepers were told to go into a different part outside the towns. They were unclean. And here's this unclean man that is an outcast coming before Jesus. And he says, "If you are willing." And what does Jesus say? He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Luke is an awesome passage of scripture. In verse 15, "Yet the news about him spread more." Jesus said, "Be silent, don't say anything." But people would see this man and he would talk about the miracles, because Jesus Christ wasn't just somebody who came and spoke. He was someone who came and did. He stretched out his hand and he touched. You know, it's easy to love the lovable, isn't it? It's hard to love the unlovable. And sometimes in life, we can say something and we can do something. I remember a story that I've told before, and I really got pulled up on this in my spirit. I was a young Christian, but it's no excuse. I pride myself in the right way, that I have always been someone that would rather do good than bad. I was, out of all the children that my mum had, I was the good one. I was the one that would hopefully stay out of prison. I was the one in the community where we had family upon family, where there was 10, 12, 15 children sometimes in families, and a lot of them would be in prison. There was something that was going on in my life that I didn't know until I was at the age of 30, and that was God was preparing me. So I had a kind nature, although I had, and I say this many times, I was evenly balanced. I had a chip on both shoulders. I was that kid. I thought the world was against me. But as I became a Christian, and even though I would do what I'm now saying I did, I wouldn't have been convicted if I hadn't known God. I saw this man in the Tuesday marketplace many, many years ago. And he was sitting there and he had a beard that nearly touched the floor, and he had paper bags in his boots. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go and buy this man a meal. So I went to McDonald's and I bought a Big Mac and I bought a drink. And it was the biggest Fanta that they had. And I gave this man, feeling very proud of myself, I gave this man this meal. And this is what he said. "I don't want that. I don't drink cold drinks. You can, you drink." And I thought, "You ungrateful toot." And I walked away in a huff. And as I was walking away, I'm talking to myself. Now, there's times where God speaks to us that way, doesn't he? And this voice was in my head going, "Who do you think you are? Why didn't you ask that man what he wanted? Why didn't you just get down to his level and say, 'Excuse me, can I buy you a meal?' I'm sure he would have said yes. 'Would you like a drink?' 'Yes. Could I have a hot coffee, please?" But me and my arrogance, I wasn't willing to get down on his level. And when we read these scriptures, Jesus was different, wasn't he? He didn't go out so that people could say, "Look at him." He just went out and did what he was called to do. And that was to show the love of the Father through his actions. And he touched the man. So there's times in our life where we can say something, we can write a check out, We can send some money. That's all good. But there will be times that you will be challenged this next coming year, I guarantee you, where God will ask you to touch. He'll ask you to enter in to that person's space. Did God say, don't give up, don't become weary in well-doing, at the proper time we'll reap a harvest? You know, usually at the time we're exhausted, God will put in front of us a situation, and maybe, if you're anything like me, you might think, God, now I've done that enough times already. And they just throw it back in my face. Lord, I've been gracious. I'm tired. I can't do that. But you know what? If Jesus says, let down your nets, you're going to catch. And you're going to catch fish. And you're going to catch fish for his kingdom. So we continue in this story, in this group of scriptures, looking at Luke and reading through Luke and seeing what God has to say in us, through us, and to us. So let's read on a bit further. In verse 15 it says this, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came near to him to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He needed to be renewed. And that's the same for me and you. If we're tired, let's take some time to, Rosemary, close the door on the kids. Lock them out. Get a bolt put on the door. Soundproof a room and just take a few moments. Verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were sitting there. They had come from every village. And the power of God was there to heal. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. They'd heard that if we just get to Jesus, our friend would be healed. If we could just get there in front of him, our friend will be healed. When they could not find a way in, Scripture says, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. And in them days, there was normally a passageway or staircase that would go to a flat roof. Sometimes there'd be tiles on the roof. Sometimes it would be mud and thatch and straw and all the rest of it mixed together. I don't know what this roof was made of. But what I do know is that they went up on top of it carrying their paralyzed friends. There was four of them, Scripture tells us. And they cut a hole in the roof. And they lowered their friends down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow? He speaks blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This was an opportunity for Jesus to tell people who he was. Because only God could forgive sins. So he says to them, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? But I say, get up and walk. So what we see here is faith in action. Faith in action. This was a man that could have been full of faith but paralyzed. We don't know. There's four friends. Three of them could be full of faith and the other one not. We don't know. But we know that faith was being carried into that room. Faith was lowering a friend, a colleague. And there are times in our life where there will be people around us that they may not have the faith to believe, but you do. They may have the faith. The Bible says that we're all given a measure of faith. Is that true? So if you imagine, if I have a small amount of faith, small as a mustard seed, and you have a small amount, small as a mustard seed, then we've got a larger amount between us, haven't we? So if the man on the mat had a small amount of faith, and the man on one corner, and the other corner, and the other corner, and they all had a measure of faith, and they come together and said, if only we could put this man before Jesus, he will be healed. Surely there's a greater measure of faith. But their faith isn't in their own ability, is it? Because just like Peter and the men who were fishing, they used their own strength, their own ability, and their own know-how. They knew how to fish. They were fishermen. They could have said to Jesus, look, you're a carpenter. You make the boats. We fish in the boats. Let us do our thing. You do your thing. But they didn't. They understood who Jesus was. These men weren't putting their faith in their own ability. They put their faith in the ability of the healer. There was power to heal. They recognized it. They saw it. I'm sure they tasted it. They understood it. It wasn't just a story. There were things happening before their eyes. So faith came to life. Now for me and you, take the little bit of faith, and as we go and help other people, as we go and assist other Christians, then surely that faith will grow. And if we can recognize that when God gives us the catch, there will be people that he gives us also to help us bring the catch in. We're not on our own. We're not alone. God wants to bless us so that we can be that blessing. Final scripture or two in Exodus 17, starting at verse 10. Here's a story here that I use as an example of we need each other. We need each other. Joshua fought the Amalekites. Moses had ordered him to do. And God said to Moses, as long as your arms are raised high, the battle belongs to you. But it says here that he got tired. Can you imagine? God says that you can be victorious, church. Just keep your arms up. The first few seconds, that's okay, isn't it? And then God gives you a bit more weight and then gets a bit heavier. Just try it. And then suddenly you think, well, God's a gracious God, so if I just lower him a little bit, it won't matter. Or maybe I'll just put him on the edge. I remember when I first became a Christian, we used to have 3-hour sermons. So how fortunate are you? 3-hour sermons. And I used to put my elbows on my knee because I'd be falling asleep. And then I would slip off of my knee and start to go, and of course then everyone knew that I was asleep. We know it doesn't matter how long we hold our arms up, they'll get tired. So we have Aaron and Hur, one on the right, one on the left. You sit down here, Moses. We'll hold your arms up. So the moral of this story is this. The battle belongs to us, God's people. God wants us to not give up in times of trouble. Not give up when we feel that there's no hope. God says, let your nets down for a catch. It means there will be a catch. If God says that, go into the land flowing with milk and honey, he will give it to us. Don't give up. Trust him. And let's be a people that will also take our friends, bring our friends to the feet of Jesus, and also be those that will help others who are in need. As we come to the end of this year, as we come to a close of 1 year and coming into another year, and I know we'll meet again on the 27th, but it's an opportunity to reevaluate what God is doing. In Hebrews 11, my final scripture, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. When the 12 spies went in, only two of them really had hope. Only two really had hope, because the rest were fearful when they saw what was happening around them. So that's not faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. What do we say? Our confidence is in the Lord, the source of our salvation. For assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith they understood. So let's grab hold of faith today as we close. As we just pray together and close together and ponder upon the things that God is saying. Number one, don't give up. Number two, has God said? Number three, be there for those that are around us. Father, we thank you.